So Rabbi Isai, we're a nice bit away, a one-third of the way along in Sfer Saima. We passed the one-third mark. So we have now the time to learn a little about Sfer Saima. And I want to start off with a halacha, the very first halacha in Sfer Saima, because it will touch upon an underlying point which is central to our entire observance of Sfer Saima. And I start in Siman Tov Pei Tes, Sif Aleph. B'leil Sheini, on the second night of Pesach, Achat Filas Arvis, Maschilan Lispor Oimer. We begin to count the Oimer. Innocent enough. Achar Tfilas Arvis. So the question is why we have it before, after Marv. What's the reason that it's placed after Marv? So here we find two types of reasons. The Yaivitz, in the Sefer Morik Tzion Shulchan Aruch HaRachayim, gives us what we would call a sociological reason. Apparently in his time, it was common to daven Marav Bizman. But in Duris before him, it was uncommon to daven Marav Bizman. And you find the Madan Yontif on Masechta Brochos, I believe, says in his time, which was like the 16th century, 17th century, it was a chiddush that they started to daven Marav Bizman. At the time of the Rishonim, we know they davened Marav very early. And you're talking that they davened Marav, according to the Tosfos, at the beginning of Brochus, even before Shkias HaChama, even before the sunset. Okay, there were sociological factors. Remember, there was no outdoor illumination. And nighttime was the time of the thieves and the robbers. So it was a good idea to disappear inside before it got too dark out. So, the Yaivet says, in his time, the daven bizman, but Meshum de Vidurus, Rishonim, and Minig, this Palo Arvis, Kaidim Alayla, as we know from Tosfos, Ubasim Amarv, Eschila Alayla, and at the end of Marv was just the beginning of night. So then, Vosho Yusuf from Kidin Mitchila Salayla, they wanted to do the most Lachatchila Dika thing, what's most preferable, and therefore they wanted to count after Tzeis Kochavim. And consequently, Marv they weren't going to wait with. They were not going to wait with Marv until the start after Tzeis HaKochav and Marv. So they davened during Men HaShemoshes. They finished right around Tzeis HaKochav. So then it was time to daven Sfira. So they counted the Sfira. So the Yaivet says, therefore, for sociological reasons, that's why we do it after Marv. It submerges the practice. And therefore, that's the practice of Jewish communities. And tradition has strength. So it's not a halachic reason. It's a historical reason which had to do with how the community was structured, how the tefillahs functioned, how the Beis HaKnesses functioned. That's the Yaivetz. The Chofetz Chaim, secondly, quotes the Chok Yaakov. And the Chok Yaakov says, from his standpoint, it's a halachic reason. We have a principle of Todah v'Sheino Todah, meaning that I have two mitzvahs to do, and one occurs with greater frequency than the other. The one that occurs with greater frequency should be done first. And we have probably the most classic case that most of us are familiar with in our own experience. There's a Mishnah which appears two places in Shas. It's on Daf Kuf Yudalad in Masechta Psochim, and on Daf Nun Aleph in Masechta Brochos. The same Mishnah. What's the format of Kiddush Friday night? So B'Shamai says, in something which is really unfamiliar to us in terms of common practice, that first we recite the Baruch Hashem Yitzchonu Mitzvahis over Rotz Avonu, finish Mekadosh HaShabbos, and after Mekadosh HaShabbos, then we make the Baruch Priya Gofen. Now, looking around this room, I don't think there's one person in this room that ever made Kiddush that way in his life. And there's a good reason. As we know, we're generally in Shas, the Paschal like Bais Hillel, and Beis Hillel says we should make the Baruch Priya Gofen and then the Baruch Hashem Kedshonu Tzoyso, which is what everyone in this room does every Friday night and every Yom Tov night. Now, what are the reasons for Beis Yosef, for Beis Hillel? So one of the reasons that the Gemara gives is Todu V'Sheinu, Todu Todu Koyd. The Bracha of Bari Priya Klamov and is not recited only on Friday night. Any time that I want to drink wine, I recite a Bari Priya Gofen. So that occurs more frequently than Kiddush, which is basically a once a week deal. So Todu V'Sheinu, Todu, Todu Koyd. And this is a derisidic principle. It's derived from Sukkim. This is not just a rabbinic, you know, device. It's derived from the Gemara and Zavochim, derives it from a pasuk. So the Chayyim Yaakov says, I don't need sociology. I don't need history. So I have the halacha. That's all I need. The halacha says, Todu V'Sheinu Todu. Marav and Kriya Shema both occur more frequently than Tzviras Ha'ayimah. So no matter how you want to set up the Sfiras Omer, the Sfiras Omer is the Rabbanon. So good. So Marav is enough. So Madar Marav is Todar. If Sfiras Omer is the Raisa, so Kriyashma is the Raisa. So either way, it's Todar V'Shein or Todar, Todar Kaidam. So the Halacha clearly dictates which one comes first. So the Shaila is a very simple Shaila, is why the Yavetz, certainly a master of the halacha, did not recite. Cite the reason of Todu V'Sheinu Todu Todu Koydim. You know, he's writing like a professor. You know, sociology. Okay, fine. You know, go to Harvard University. I take a sociology course. But, you know, normally we don't expect the Rosh Yeshiva to get up and tell us sociology. Sometimes, yeah, but not if there's a halachic reason. So let us explore a little bit to see how we will understand, and we'll come to a very core issue of Sfiras Omer if we do a proper analysis of the Yavetz. Let us first turn our attention for a moment to what the parameters of Todu V'Sheinu Todu Todu Koydim are. The assumption is that the less frequent mitzvah will be performed at the same level, except the only problem is it will be done second. It will occur after the more frequent mitzvah. That's the assumption of Todu V'Sheinu Todu. The only thing that's going to be lacking, we won't have zrizus. It won't be the first mitzvah, but the Todu will be the first mitzvah. That's exactly the point of Todu. It should be the first mitzvah. However, suppose that, and I'll give you an example of this in a moment, that by doing the less frequent mitzvah second, I will have a lesser fulfillment of the second mitzvah than I would if I do it first. So then the halacha is clearly stated, and I'll just show you the source in a moment, that we do the less frequent mitzvah first. There's a Gemara, and Daf Gimel Amud Aleph in Masechet Megillah, and the Gemara states the following: Koyanin mevatlin avodasan, Koyanin push aside their avoda, the service in the Beis Hamikdash. Ubo'in, we'll come back to that word, and they come, Lishmaya Mikra Megillah, to hear Mikra Megillah. So the Ritva explains, what does the word Ubo'in mean? It means there were certainly more than 10 Kayanim in the Beis Hamikdash. They certainly had a minyan, a nice sized minyan, bigger than most shuls. But they were not the biggest shul in Yerushalayim. So for Pursumenisa purposes, they wanted Bereivam Hadras Melech to maximize the crowd, to be the greatest Pirsa Manes. So they leave the Beis HaMikdash and they go to the biggest shul in town and they listen to the Megillah. And after they finish the Megillah, Tosis explains, then they come back and they do the Korban Tomid Shel Shachar. You know, the guys in the shul tell them, listen, gents, you want to do the Avodah right away in the morning. That's fine. We're davening right away in the morning. And we're not waiting for you. You want to show up? You show up. You don't want to show up? Make your own minyan, but we're not waiting for you. So now the Kayanim are stuck. If they'll stay to do the Avodah, what's going to happen? After the Avodah, they won't be able to go to the big shul in town anymore because they will have davened and gone home. So they will miss the opportunity to do the, to read the Megillah but pursue an Issa with a larger crowd than they could in the Beis HaMikdash. So qualitatively, they'll have a lesser mitzvah in Mikra Megillah than they would if they went to the shul.
They would do the Megillah, the Kohen?
What?
The Kohen Kohanim would be reading the Megillah?
No, they would listen to the Megillah, but they would listen in the context of our very large shul.
Okay.
Larger than the whatever number of hundreds that they had in Kohanim that arrived in the Beis HaMikdash for that week. It's been a massive shul. So since if they would, now, the classic case of Todah, of course, is the Korban Tumah Shel Shachar. There's nothing that's more Todah than that, the Korban Tumah. Day in, day out, every day of the year. Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah, it doesn't make a difference. Shabbos, there's a Korban Tumah. Every day. There is no mitzvah that's more Todah than that. This is the classical Todah. And we say, well, listen. Well, if you're going to do the Todah first, and then you're going to go, so afterwards, so you'll have to stay in the Beis HaMikdash. Because the shul will have flown the coop already. They will have davened, and that's it, left you in the lurch. So you'll have a lesser fulfillment of your Mikra Megillah. So then the halacha is that, no, you front load the Mikra Megillah. We go out of the Beis HaMikdash. We go to the big shul in town. After they finish davening, and we heard the Megillah, then we turn around and go to the Beis HaMikdash. And an hour and a half after the normal time, then we take up the Korban Tumah Shel Shachar. That's what Tosis explains at the beginning, go on the top of Daf Gimel Amud Aleph and Masechta the Megillah. So clearly we see the principle that if Todah affects something more than just placement, number one, number two, but it affects the quality of the less frequent mitzvah, and by putting off the less frequent mitzvah, there will be a less significant fulfillment of that mitzvah, then we do the less frequent mitzvah first. That we can clearly establish from the Gemara in Megillah. Now, where is that relevant to us? So I'm going to read to you a surprising Rosh. The Rosh is near the end of Masechta Pesachim, and even as the Korban Hasanal, one of the classic commentaries on the Rosh and Shas points out, this Rosh goes against everything that we have in the Shulchan Aruch and what we're used to, which is pretty surprising. Remember, the Rosh is really one of the mainstays of the Shulchan Aruch, is the Rosh. The Beis Yosef built the Shulchan Aruch on the Rambam, the Rif. And if the Rambam and the Rif did not have a unified position, so the Rosh was the one that the decision was stuck. And remember also that the Tor Shulchan Aruch, who was the first one to formulate the Shulchan Aruch, was the son of the Rosh. So the Rosh's Pesachim certainly, for that reason, also played a very big role. And here we're going to read a Rosh to you, which, as the Korban Hasanal will point out, flies in the face of everything that we've ever heard in this subject and everything that we've learned in the Shulchan Aruch. The very, very end of Masechta Pesachim. 10th parak. So at the very end of the Masechta, the Rishonim, because this occurs on the second night of Pesach, I presume, so the Rishonim at the end of Masechta Pesachim start to talk about the mitzvah Seiros HaOmer. Even though there are really no reference to it directly, I don't believe, in the Gemara, but it's timely. So here we have the Rosh. Let's find the place. It's going to be right here, yeah. I used a different Gemara today. Here we go. One second. Yeah. Okay, this is at the end of Sim. It's Perak Asirim Sochem Ari Pesachim. Simen Lamentes. And the Rosh starts by the Simen Mem. I'm sorry, Simen Mem in Arvei Pesachim. And the Rosh begins Mechayvinon Lemimne Yoyme the Shiva Shavua Yimei the Urta the Chareisar Benisan Nagi Shitsa, that it is obligatory to count the days from the end of the 15th day of Nisan, the end of the first day of Pesach, as it fades into the evening of the 16th, Tuchsiv Usfartem Lachem Imoch Rosh HaShabbos, Ustvatona Rabbanon in Menochus, Usfartem Lachem Shetei Sfira Lachol Echot. And we have a mitzvah of counting the years of the Yovel, and there was also a bracha, but there it says, Usfarto Lachol, the beginning of Parshas Bahar, in the Loshen Yochid, in the singular. So since it's said in the singular, it's understood that it applies to Beis Din. Beis Din represents all of Klal Yisrael. When here by Svira Samuel Reidu Sfartem Lachem, the plural is understood to apply to every individual. So this is not a mitzvah incumbent upon Beis Din, it's a mitzvah incumbent on every individual. So the Rosh goes through some of the halachas of Svira Sa'ima. And at the end of Simen Mem, he writes the following. Uperish Ri, quoting the Balik Toysus to Ri, V'nira d'sofik chasheicha, yochai levorach. During the twilight period, in between sunset and Tzeitz HaGochavim, what we call Ben HaShvoshes, one may make a broch on the Sfira Sa'imah. We don't have to wait until it's certainly the night time. Most of the Rishonim, there are a nice number. It's not only one. There are a good number of Rishonim that hold that the Suras Omer Bismanaz as the Raisa. But by and large, most of the Shitas Rishonim do not agree with that, because their position is that the Suras Omer is only obligatory at a Torah level when there's a Korban Omer, when we actually go and gather the grain and bring that to the Beis HaMikdash. In the absence of the Korban Omer, after the Korban of the Beis HaMikdash, so they learn is not merely a description of the time, but a halachic prerequisite. It's miyom haviyachem, so from the day that you bring this, that's when you count. If you don't bring the Korban, no tiki, no washi, it doesn't start. And that's the position of most Rishonim. And it happens to be the Shulchan Aruch records that too, that part, that one may recite the brocha on the Sefer HaSoma during Ben HaShemoshes. Why? Because since it's a rabbinic mitzvah, and twilight is a Sofik Yom, Sofik Laila, maybe the nighttime, that's enough for, do we say, Sofik the Rabbanon the Kula. And therefore, we may recite the bracha during Ben HaShemoshes. The Shulchan Aruch and Sif Gimel tells us it's preferable, though, to count at night. And he explains what one should do. We'll come back to it perhaps later. If the community is counting before Tzeis HaKochavim, and I want to count at Tzeis, what I should do about it. We'll come back to that. So the Rosh's first reason, this is cited in the Shulchan Aruch, this is certainly Halacha L'Maisa. Then he says, Oyid Nira. He says, it seems to me, the Rosh says, not only may one count during the Bein HaShemoshes, the Odif Tfei Samuch L'Chasheicha, it's better to count a little before the night time, B'Shem Tmimois, because we have a posse which says, Sheva Shabosos Tmimois Tiyena. Tmimos means they should be complete. So there are a lot of different definitions of what Tmimos means. We'll examine some of them. But the Rosh tells us, at the simplest level, Tmimos means that I should have the entire day should be part of my counting. See, if I'm going to count tonight at 9:30, so good. So the Tzeis HaKochavim was, let's say, about 8:30, 8:35. So I chopped off 1 hour, which preceded my counting. So the Rosh says, in terms of Tmimos, if I count before nighttime, so then I have the entire day. I didn't even miss 1 second of the day. I certainly got the entire day. Maybe, you know, even if Ben HaShemoshes is Sofik, I got part of that too. But certainly everything which is certainly the day, I certainly got included. So the Rosh says, why wait to Tzeis HaKochavim? Why should you do such a thing? Far better to count Samuch L'Chasheicha in the time just before nighttime. And therefore I know that I fulfilled Tmimus to the max. So here the Korban and Sanal comments. The lengthier version on the Tor Shulchan Aruch and Ar Shulchan Aruch. Masik takes the following position. Those that are meticulous don't count before Tzeis HaKochavim. And the Shulchan Aruch says that's what's most appropriate to do. So the Rosh says it's most appropriate to count Bein HaShemoshes. And the Shulchan Aruch says it's most appropriate to count, listen, you don't know if it's the night time, you're supposed to count at night. So therefore, wait till it's certainly the nighttime and then count. So that's the normative position. The Rosh takes the position that Ben Ashmosh is the best time to count.
Because it's not night, it's not to you, so that counts at all. Well,
it may be nighttime, right? So I'm allowed to count. Now my shayla, should I be machmer and wait till Tzeisak Chacham, or should I avail myself of the opportunity that Halacha allows me to count now? Right? That's the shayla. If it was the rice, I wouldn't be allowed to count now, so the Rosh wouldn't argue to count during Ben Ashmoshes. But now that we just established the first teretz, that I'm allowed to count during Ben Ashmoshes, because it's a Sofik Rabbanon, so now I want to ask you, which is now preferable? So the Shulchan Aruch says, preferably wait till the night, don't count now. And the Rosh says, no, count Dafka now. If you can count now, count now. Because you maximize the Tmimus. It's one of the ways you could learn. But most of the Rishayim learn that Tmimus has some effect in the days. Oh yes, most. I don't know if all, but I'm not sure. I shouldn't say that. I don't know exactly where I draw the line with Tmimus. But the halacha certainly applies to Mimas to the day by day sin. That's clear. So, listen, that's a question if that notion is applicable or not, whatever the Achronim talk about it. But listen, over here I have what to gain. I'm gaining in the Kiyam HaMitzvah. So maybe a Dafka should do what the Rosh says. You know, seize the opportunity. The halacha lets you do it, so max it out. But I can't always do it sooner rather than later, because if it, let's say, I have to read Kriya Shema, and I may not fulfill the mitzvah of Kriya Shema, which is a deraisa, before nightfall, so I don't have a choice, so I can't do it. I may be, and in to use common parlance, offside. You know, I jumped the gun. But here, when it's a mitzvah derabbanon, so I have no halachic impediment. Halacha allows me to do it now. So the Rosh says, if it allows me to do it, just grab it and run with it, fast as you can. You'll fulfill Tmimus to the max. So as I said, the Rosh is at odds with what we have in the Shulchan Aruch. But the Rosh does point out a very, very important point. It illuminates a very important point. And that is that the earlier we count, the more Tmimus we have. Now, even if I disagree with the Rosh, and I take the Shulchan Aruch's position, now in learning what we assume, and that's what the major poskim assume as well, that we make a machlokes as small as we could make it. We don't make it as large as we could make it. We make the machlokes as small as we possibly could make it, which would mean the following, that the logic is, the disagreement with the Rosh is that it's preferable to wait till night time, and it's definitely this month of the mitzvah, than to do it in a suffix in a questionable time. But once night time comes, and I certainly can do the mitzvah, the Rosh's argument that Tmimai says I should do it as soon as possible is correct. And most major poskim, in fact, assume that to be the case. And that starts a whole course celebra among contemporary poskim, or the poskim of the last generation. Why, in fact, what happens if you're going to daven Maariv late? Should you count Sefiras Omer early? You know, we're going to daven 9:30. Should I have counted Sefiras Omer at 8:30 for that reason when Tzeisak Chacham came? So, but that's the assumption made by all the great poskim in the discussions, is that once Tzeisak Chacham comes, then the Rosh is certainly right. We have to seize the opportunity. Now that we have illuminated a little bit the din of Tmimos and brought it into focus, now we're going to go back to the Yavetz. So the Yavetz was not ready to jump on the din of Todr. So Todr is going to tell me to do. Todr would tell me, you know, he was davening at night. And you're going to tell me, well, because of Todr, I should do Mara first. So the Yavetz would turn around and say, gentlemen, you forgot a Gemara and Megillah. If there's a greater fulfillment of the less frequent mitzvah by doing it first, then we're supposed to do it first, like the Kohenim did the Megillah before they did the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. If we're going to count before Marv, we'll have a greater fulfillment of the Din of Tmimos, which we're going to lose if we wait until after Marv in Kriya Shema. If there's a greater fulfillment, then we're supposed to front load it. So he says, don't come and tell me Todr. Todr is not going to resolve this problem. That's what the Yaivitz, the master of the Halacha, said. I can only cite history and sociology to tell you why we do the Sfiras HaOmer after Marv. But on Halacha grounds, I would not have, you know, made this decision on Halacha grounds. This is just has emerged the way Klal Yisrael does it. So that's the way it is. You know, now we can't fix every problem that we discover along the way. But Todri said is certainly not the solution to this problem. That is the Pshat L'char and the Yaivitz. But which brings into focus the whole mitzvah of Tmimus. And as I said, Tmimus has many, many definitions, what Tmimus means. It would seem, as I said, most Rishonim are of the view that if one skipped the day of the Sfira, one could go on counting all the rest of the days with a bracha. We know the Tosis and Masechet Menachos can. Most Rishonim hold that way. Most Rishonim. We didn't get to the Halacha yet, but most authorities of the Rishonim hold that way. Tosis and Masechet Menachos cites the Baal Halachos Gedolos, and the Baal Halachos Gedolos did not agree. The Baal Halachos Gedolos said if you skipped one night, you sunk, you blew the whole mitzvah. He is, I said, an unusual opinion in this subject. But the Shulchan Aruch, and we'll examine why soon, but the Shulchan Aruch adapted halfway the Halachos Gedolos' view. Meaning to say, the Shulchan Aruch says, if I skip the night, I should go on, according to the Halachos Gedolos, you don't have to bother to count the rest of the nights because it's over. You missed it, it's it, you blew it. So come back next year. But according to the other place, we go on counting. So the Shulchan Aruch made a compromise. Shulchan Aruch said, we'll follow the view of most of the authorities, and we're going to go on counting. But we're not going to make a bracha in deference to the Baal Halachos Gedolos' position. So we don't make the bracha. But most Rishonim say that it's not Li'ikuvah, you skip tonight. So apparently, you know, when we went to Cheder, they used to tell us that what's this machlokes about? Well, the Halachos Gedolos says it's all one mitzvah, all 49 nights. And therefore, if you missed part of it, it's like, you listen, you don't have the Hadassim. How are you making a bracha on the lulav? It's part of the mitzvah. And the other Rishonim learned that each night is a mitzvah in its own right. So it could be, I presume, that the Halachos Gedolos is coming from an understanding of the din of Tmimos. Tmimos means, according to him, that every day has to be included in the cheshbon. Perhaps that's where he's coming from. And the other Rishonim don't necessarily learn Tmimus in that fashion. Now, I have difficulty with this Pshat, as I've mentioned 30 times before. And my difficulty is, according to the Talmud Rishonim, if one builds a sukkah before sukkahs, now most of us have to build a sukkah. You know, if you're one of those rare people that has what's a kosher sukkah, lying around, not even was made for non-sukkah purposes. A watchman's hut, for example, which has a thatched roof, not solid. And so it's made for shade, shady, to provide some comfort for the watchman. There's a kosher sukkah. It wasn't made as a sukkah. So if I live, you know, down the block as a park or a field, and it has one of those things, so I don't have to bother to make a sukkah. I can go in there and eat. It doesn't have to be made l'shem sukkah. Matzah has to be made l'shem matzah. Sukkah doesn't have to. It's a mila of the Mogen Avraham says if it's made l'shem sukkah, but it doesn't have to be. But most of us have to make a sukkah. If you want to eat in a sukkah on sukkah, we better get out there and make a sukkah. So the Rishonim says when the Torah commanded us, then basukkahs teishvu shivas yomim. So in effect. If not de jure, but de facto, the halacha is telling us, go build a sukkah. You know, technically, I don't have to. No, I'm not under it. It's not a chiyuv. It's a de jure. But de facto, yeah, you want to have a sukkah, you're going to have to put up a sukkah. So the Rishonim says, that's a mitzvah then, to put up a sukkah. So the Rishonim says, you make a broch on building the sukkah. So that's the Shita Sayyid Rishonim. The Bavli and Menachos, I believe in Daf Mem Gimel, says, no, we only make a bracha when we go into the sukkah. On the building of the sukkah, we don't make a bracha. Why? So the Bavli says, Then any time there's a mitzvah which comes in various stages, we make a bracha on the final stage and not on the earlier stages. So since the whole point of building the sukkah is finally to go in and eat in the sukkah, so that's the final deal, so that's where we make a bracha. On the preliminary steps, we don't make it. So this is a question then, if we're going to say that all 49 nights are one mitzvah, so I should make a bracha then on the last night when I finish the mitzvah, not in the first 48. So Yid Lamdin wanted to tell me that maybe it's different. There it's what's called a heksha mitzvah. It's a preparation for the mitzvah, whereas each night is really a substantive part of the mitzvah. And he has a point. I did have some question, which I don't, let's, well, I'm not pursue now, that I'm not sure that he's correct. But nevertheless, it's a point. But I have some difficulty with this. I did discover, so this is one aspect of Tmimus. You miss the night, that's it, it's over. There's another way to learn this machlekes, which I find more appealing personally, but as I said, I cannot dismiss the first way. It's the way most of the world thinks that what this machlekes is about. I don't know exactly what the proof that they have that is the machlekes, that I don't know. But if one reads the Sefer HaChinuch, let me put forth the Sefer HaChinuch, the way I understand the Sefer HaChinuch. And the Sefer HaChinuch, in my understanding, says the following. How do we establish the 49 nights of Sefirah? What's the framework for those 49 nights? Now, there are two possibilities, according to the Sefer HaChinuch. The framework could be subjective or objective. Now, what do I mean by that? Suppose tonight were to be the 20th night. It's not, but let's talk about the 20th night. Suppose tonight would be the 20th night of Sefirah. So what makes it the 20th night? Well, how do I count it? On what basis do I count it as the 20th night? Do I count it because it's a subjective count? Listen, well, I counted 19 yesterday, and I counted all the days up until 19, so in my counting process, I'm up to 20, so tonight's the 20th night. That's one way to look at it. Now, if that's the case, if I skip the night, I'm in trouble. I didn't say 19 yesterday, so I had the 18 as the last one that I did. So how did I get to 20? And I can't declare 19 is totally out of order. The halacha doesn't warrant, you know, making tonight the 19th night. So I'm betwixt and between. Nothing that I could do. The Sefer HaChinuch ends off, though, the other side of this is that I should continue to count Im Kol Yisrael. Now, the phrase Im Kol Yisrael is a very poetic phrase. You know, if I wanted to write, you know, with a poetic flourish, I would end Im Kol Yisrael. Sounds very nice, you know? It's a nice way. And the speech Shabbos, it's a good phrase to end the speech with. It's a nice flourish to it. But the problem is the Sefer HaChinuch is not a book of poetry. The Sefer HaChinuch is a halacha sefer. He's talking b'dinei ha-mitzvah, mitzvahs. So what is Im Kol Yisrael? What does this belong there? So what I deduced from that is, what he means is that's the halachic reason. Meaning to say that the framework is not subjective, the framework is objective. Now, I might not have counted 19 yesterday, but all the rest of you gentlemen and the rest of Klal Yisrael counted 19. So tonight, by the objective statement of Klal Yisrael, is 20. So if I didn't count subjectively, I messed it up, but it's not a subjective framework, it's an objective framework. And objectively, I'm Im Klal Yisrael, listen, all the Klal Yisrael has declared tonight the 20th, so I'm part of Klal Yisrael, I'll join them in that. That's the way I understand what this machloikas is. So that's a different twist, it spins off, it's not dependent on a definition of tmimus. Now we have other definitions of tmimus. What do we do practically if I didn't count one night? I forgot about it. The next morning, I remember, hey, I didn't count Sefira last night. So the halacha is that we count without a bracha. And then the next night, I continue counting with a bracha. Now, what's the rationale for that? The rationale for that is we're not sure what the meaning of tmimus is. On one hand, perhaps tmimus means that I have to have part of the night. I can't just have a daytime portion of the day. I need a nighttime portion. I need part of the night and the day to be tmimus. So if I remember at 9 o'clock in the morning and I missed the whole night, I'm out of luck. It's not tmimus. On the other hand, perhaps Tmimus just means as long as I get in part of the day, I'm fine. Even if it's only in the daytime. So in terms of making a bracha in the daytime, we don't make a bracha because we have a dispute. If I should be making a bracha, this is an appropriate time to count. Maybe it's not an appropriate time to count today. Because for today, it's in and of itself, I don't have Tmimus. I don't have the whole day. Now it comes tonight, so we say the following. Well, listen. Most of the poskim say that I'm allowed to make a bracha anyhow, even if I totally missed yesterday. Now, add to that, some rishonim say that if I counted in the daytime, I'm also good. Even according to the Bahag, that you can't miss a day, that I'm not construed as missing a day by having counted in the daytime. So when we crunch that together, we'll see for varied reasons why, but when we crunch that together, it's a big enough number that we go with it. So consequently, I'm allowed to make a bracha. Now we have the same thing takes place. Suppose I come to Sfira and I said, let's suppose tonight is the 20th night of Sfira.
So we're allowed to skip the bracha the day after we forgot.
Yes. So I did in the morning I make it without count without a bracha. And then from the next night and on I go again with a bracha.
That's how we do it again.
Yes, that's what we do. Now we have another similar case. I come tonight, let's say tonight would be the 20th night of Sfira. And I'm counting, and I say, you know something? Something's wrong. Either, you know, I have this odd feeling I didn't count yesterday. I'm not sure, but I have this funny feeling I may not have counted. Or, you know something? I just have this strange feeling I might have counted 18 last night, not 19. I'm not sure. Maybe. But I can't dismiss it either. It's, you know, I just don't know. So the halacha is that I go on counting again from tonight and on. I count with a bracha. Why? Again, the same reason. Those are showing them that say each night is independent. So that's most views. So I'm there. If it's not independent, well, listen, add on the fact I may have counted. You can't dismiss that possibility. I have a 50% shot that I counted yesterday. So when you crunch those numbers together, oops, there we go. I'm over the top.
Isn't that considered? Why is that?
I don't know. It's
what you either did or you didn't. The fact that you don't know, why does that?
Well, we'll see. Maybe according to Rav Shlomo Zalman, we'll understand that. And according without that, I will think about it more. See, there is what arises here. So, if you, the Magen Avraham says, what's the reason that we make a bracha on this basis? Because we have those that are familiar with Masechta Ksuvos or Yerodeah Siman Kuf Yud, we have what we call a Svek Sveka, meaning we have two doubts compounded upon each other. Doubt number one, that maybe the halacha doesn't demand that I count every night. And on the other side, if it does demand, well, maybe I did count or I counted properly. So this is a halachic device. And this halachic device is a powerful halachic device. It can render food kosher, save it from the status of being treif. According to many Rishonim, it's stronger than a Cheskes Isur. When there's an established status of Isur, it can overcome it. According to some Rishonim, even if a majority is on my case, a majority of the evidence, I cannot collect money. Some Rishonim allow collecting, but a Svek Svek, I can collect money too. So a Svek Svek is a powerful tool.
That's what the logic is called?
Yes, yeah, that combination is called Svek Svek in the language of the Shas. So now the Magen Avraham says, when there's a Svek Svek, you're allowed to make a bracha. That's what he writes. Now this starts a whole course of Lebron in its own right, because the Chai Adam, I believe in Klal Hei, and the Prima Godam, someplace in the Psicha, in his introduction, both are of the view that, you know, one of the things that we're very, very skittish about is making a bracha, if there's any doubt if I'm supposed to be making that bracha, what we call it. If there's a question of bracha lebatolo, of a bracha that's not supposed to be made, we become very, very skittish. So both of them say, the Chai Adam and the Prima Godim, that a Svek Sveka is not enough reason to be allowed to make a bracha. So if that's the case, so now we come back to us, so why are you making a bracha of a Svek Sveka by Svira Sa'ima? So I don't intend to go into it tonight. If you wish, you can study the Chai Adam and the Siman in the chapter which deals with Sfiras Omer, and he has his own approach. how he resolves this problem. He's fully consistent that what's found in the Mogen Avraham is not going to work for him. So he formulated his own answer to the question. You'll see it in the Chayodim. He doesn't reference why he did it, but if you understand the Chayodim, you know that's why he was out to do what he did. So there, that's one type of answer you can give. Another answer which crossed my mind, and I believe I found that Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, said, principally, we don't come out just about, don't even know why we're machmer like the Bahag in the first place, not to make a brocha. I mean, Tosis is pretty dismissive of the Bahag in Menachos, and most Rishonim don't hold that way. So why in the world did the Bahag gain such traction that we don't make a brocha because of him? It's a good question. He says, but consequently, we're so far close to making a brocha that any extra little push is enough to push us over the top and say, you know, the Bahag Adkan, you know, we're not going any further with you. There's a limit. You know, a regular Svek Sveika doesn't reach that high a level. It doesn't reach such a high bar that it shall allow us to make a brocha. But here, before we started off, we were on the cusp of making a brocha without any additions. We almost can't figure out why we don't make a brocha. So any little addition is enough to say we're over the top, and that's it. We don't need to worry about it. Stating then that the principle by Sfiras Omer is different because of the halacha considerations that most Rishonim allow you to make a brocha than it is in other places where this principle comes up. That's the approach of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach on this issue. So we have, that's a reason that we should continue making a brocha. I want to share with you that I believe that the Shulchan Aruch himself learns the machlekes rishonim in terms of making a brocha, not making a brocha, according to the approach that I've articulated in the name of the Sefer Chinuch, and not in the classical approach, one mitzvah, many mitzvahs approach. Because let me read to you from the Shulchan Aruch, and you tell me what you make of it. I'll tell you what I make of it, and you'll tell me what you make of it. In Siman Tov Pei Tes, Sif Ches, there's an astounding din on the Shulchan Aruch. If you forget one of the days, the counselor. Now, what's most ignominious, Ben Yom Rishon, you blew the first day. That's pretty ignominious to miss the first day. Ben Yishor Yomim, whether it's any other day, Sefer B'Shor Yomim, you count the other days, but below Brocha. It's all familiar halacha. Yes, without a Brocha, we count. That's classic halacha. Fine. In other words, I know it definitely, I skipped the day. That's it. So I can't go on making a bracha. I want to know, only understand one thing. Why did the Shulchan Aruch write Bein Yom Rishon, Bein Mishor Yom? Whether it was the first day or any other day, who cares? If the whole point of the Bahag is that the 49 days are one mitzvah, so if I left that part of the mitzvah, I left it out. It's self-evident. What's the difference if it's the first day or any other day? So why should the Shulchan Aruch make a point whether it's the first day or any other day? There's no logical, there's no space, there's no to cut in between those two. So, but if we learn Rabbi Yisrael, like the Sefer HaChinuch's approach, then the Shulchan Aruch is telling me something. If I counted the first night, I could argue, the Bahag does not necessarily agree with that, but I could argue that by having, even if it's a subjective count, once I counted the first night, I made a calendar. By having counted the first night, the second night of Pesach, the first night of Sefirah, so I laid out now a calendar from now until Shavuos. The next night is night two, the night after day three, all the way until 14. I established by counting, I wrote out a calendar. And Ramel, as long as I counted on the first day, I could argue that any other day that I missed, I still have a subjective calendar. Forget the rest of Klal Yisrael. I wrote a calendar, and the first night when I counted, there's 49 nights to count, so I wrote the calendar, the next 49 nights, 2, 3, 4, etc., all the way up until 49. Whereas if I skipped a day in the middle, so I could argue that I could perhaps go on counting with a brocha. If I skipped the first day, I'm certainly fried. So there is daylight in between those two. Those two. Just because you tell me if I skip the first day I can't go on counting with a bracha, does not necessarily dictate if I skip the fifth day that I can't go on counting with a bracha. So this parallels what I've argued with the approach that I took in the Sefer HaChinuch. That the question is not one mitzvah versus many mitzvahs. The question is that the Bahag's point is that the counting is subjective, the count, the framework. And you could make an argument that once I counted the first night, I've established a subjective framework. And therefore, losing any other night will not do me in. So the Shulchan Aruch doesn't agree in the Bahag. He says it's not true. But there is room for a reasonable person to argue such a position. So the fact that the Shulchan Aruch goes out of his way to tell us Ben Yom Rishon and Mishor Yom is striking. But I would like you, when you go around town, to ask people what they make of this line in the Shulchan Aruch. It's rather nobody comments even what this line in the Shulchan Aruch is saying. I haven't seen commentary yet on this line. But it's a very telling line. But, you know, it just goes right by. Went by me for many, many years. I didn't, you know, didn't catch it. And then one fine year, all of a sudden, I said, wait a second, what in the world is the Shulchan Aruch doing here? The Shulchan has to be saying something. So according to the view of the Sefer HaChinuch, that the Bahag's point of not making a bracha is because the count is subjective, so then there's daylight in between those two possibilities, between skipping the first day and other days. And the Shulchan Aruch says he doesn't agree, but there is what to talk about. It's a subject that's worthy of debate. So this is, we've talked a little bit about the impact of Tmimos and various aspects of Tmimos. Well, to throw in what I believe, I think it's the Brisker Chiddush, that we paskin that you're supposed to count days and weeks. There's a machloikus in the Gemara if we have to count the days or the days and the weeks nowadays. So one view in the Gemara is since it's Zeichel HaMikdash, it's only in commemoration of the Mikdash, it's enough to count the days. We don't have to count the weeks, even though in the Mikdash we had to do both. So we paskin no mitzvah l'mimne yomim, mitzvah l'mimne shvuim. We count days and weeks. So I believe the Brisker, maybe even the Beis Halevi, but I don't remember exactly, argue the following. That there's a mitzvah, counting of the weeks is a separate mitzvah than the mitzvah of the counting of the days. Mitzvah l'mimne yomim, mitzvah l'mimne shvuim. Each one is shiva shvuim, tispaloch. And the other is Tisperu Chamishim Yom. They're two separate, two different parshiyos, and they're two different mitzvahs. So they want to argue that even if you skip the night during Sfira, but on the day when the weeks end, you're allowed to make a bracha. Because there's a mitzvah on the 7th, the 14th, the 21st, those seven occasions, the mitzvah to guess. That's the mitzvah to count the weeks. The real mitzvah of counting the weeks is on, some sheets in fact told you only count the days every day, only on the when the week changes, you count the weeks. So they want to argue that even if I skip the day, on the day that the week changes, I can still make a bracha. So because that's a different, the weeks have its own cycle of seven, and the days have its cycle of 49. So as long as I guess I didn't skip one of the weeks, I'm still in good shape. I didn't say that, Rabbi. I'm just telling you, some brisker chiddush.
First of anything is so important, typically, right? So if he's saying that, even on the first, right, he's saying, the first, in this case, the first day is no different than the rest of the days.
Right. That's right. I might have thought the first is, in fact, even more significant.
Right.
Because, but he's saying it's not true. It doesn't have to be true.
So therefore,
on a subjective basis, I'm lacking. If I skip the day, yes, I'm lacking. Correct. So, Rabbi Yisai, add kind of consideration this week of Sira Sa'ima. Be'ez Hashem, we'll come back next week, and I think we'll go further in Sira Sa'ima. But it is a fascinating subject.
So, what do we say as far as counting the four Amarim? I mean.